When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What it is, I'm eating a piece of licorice. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. So good. But with that, Joe.
Let me do some disclaimers. I'll let you chew. You may hear some noises in the background of this podcast. Cam is on the Peloton. And when he is on the Peloton, he makes very loud, very sexual noises. Now, I do too, because it's a hard workout. However, he's, you know, loud, and you may hear some in the background. He might be. Do you hear that? You hear that? There's Cam. That's Cam. So, we are not swingers. He's not getting busy with another lady or man in the other room. He is on the Peloton. So, disregard. Also, Carl is sleeping on my lap. He snores quite loud. So you might hear some snoring over here. It may sound like Cam, you know, like someone's napping and then someone's banging. You know, the dog's napping. Cam is on the bike. I tried to warn him. I said, hey, babe, doing the podcast, just want you to know I can hear. I closed the door, but I can still hear you quite clearly from my work corner. And he just went, so I don't know if you heard me or if you didn't hear me, but kind of got the vibe you wanted me to go away. So I did, and just so you know.
All right, with that, welcome to the Temp Show. I'm Tyrus, and my only issue is I still have 7 pieces of delicious licorice left, so I'm going to...
Ooh, is that like the... Let me see that.
It's a good kind.
Oh, that's the best. Kind
ones, yeah. Phenomenal. So yeah, this is our show, and you've been given the disclaimer. So let's do this. Obviously, we're going to start off on a not so humorous thing. I think we have to talk about what has transpired in the last couple of days. We've had we're literally searching for a new identity in this country, I think, and it's just we got protests literally almost in every damn city. It seems like. And we're still having an issue with police brutality. And another brother was killed under ridiculous circumstances, shot 7 times in the back. I watched the video. I didn't want to watch it at first. I was just like, I just can't believe with everything that has transpired since the George Floyd murder that, you know, things were getting better. But they seemed to take just a wild turn to where it became something else. You know, we're attacking the wrong people. You know, people who are trying to help are now being victimized and, you know, defund the police and like all, it's gone into all these different avenues instead of what we're really supposed to be focusing on. And that's being better people and finding better ways for our police to police our police officers, you know, but we seem to go.
Yeah. And I completely agree. You know, we talked about this a little bit before the podcast even started and completely agree with you on everything you said 100%. And I just, it's upsetting. The video is obviously devastating. And then it's also upsetting to see, as I've seen and as you've also seen, the fact that the attitude among a lot of people is it must have been deserved in some way. And looking for little itty bitty reasons like, oh, he had a little knife under the seat of it or on the floorboard of his car, something like that. Then I get disgusted all over again when I see something like that.
You know, what Martin Luther King said something that I think really resonates now more than ever is it's not what your enemies say, it's the silence of your friends when you're going through something. And I got into an argument, not even an argument, it was more of just was saying that I was just tired of this. I'm tired of reading about this. I'm tired of a senseless shooting. Walking away from the police is not a death sentence. You know, a DUI is not a death sentence. Having prior record is not a death sentence.
Not a capital offense.
No. And automatically it was, well, he must have done something.
Right.
He had to do something. It was, on top of all that, it was, you know, what were they supposed to do? You know, my experience has always been that they usually are bad if they're bad, you know, and I just said, why is it whenever I express or say a certain something about police brutality, your first response is to defend and try to find something wrong with the victim.
Right.
And they said to me, because I'm white and I'm going to look out for white first. And I was just, normally I'm never shocked by anything that someone say to me online or a phone or whatever. And when I heard that, all the things I wanted to say back, the only thing I could say was, conversation's over. I'm not going to wait.
There's not even, how do you engage with something like that?
You know, because it couldn't be that, you know, because it's always, it comes down to, it's always, well, there's black cops too. There's this too. There's, you know, they always want to make examples, and they're missing the point that it is a culture. It is a training, passed down. Doesn't matter that, you know, a brother, unfortunately, no cops. We don't see enough cops that step out and say, hey, bro, calm down. Hey, you're too into this. Hey, I'm calling you to stand down, you know? Or they seem to think shooting a guy is better optics than taking your billy club out and hit him in the back of the legs when he tries to go in his car, you know, and then you arrest him. He lives to fight another day. But the video might look bad. So, you know, they're not going to take the chance of that. They're not going to touch him until it's too late because they're afraid to do anything, you know, and I'm hearing all these excuses. And Dr. Drew and I, we have like a little talk show we do on Wednesdays, and we were lucky enough to have a retired police officer call in. And he broke it down for us how it should have went. And he broke the case, and he said,
I really apologize for that. I mean, he's real, like, I wasn't exaggerating. And I, like, listen, I
say we just ignore it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he basically was saying that he could not support the shooting. And he explained what was supposed to happen. And, you know, the biggest thing that stood out was the officers made a mistake in terms of one officer should have flanked. When he started walking around the car with the other officer following him, the other officer should have went around the other way, where he would have maintained eye contact with him or seeing him and flanked him from getting in the car. He wouldn't be able to get in the car. The officer would have ran around and met him. But instead, they had lost control of the situation. He believed that they were scared. And it led to bad decisions being made and 7 shots in his back.
And I also think, just as a general, you know, a general rule, that police officers, the amount of power that they have versus the amount of training that they get blows my mind. I mean, you need to go to school to be able to cut hair like for way, way longer than you do to have, be wearing the badge and have that power. I don't understand how that's the way things work. I don't understand.
And it's different in every city and every town.
Yeah.
You have to build a team. You have to have police officers out. You have to deal with the population base that you have, and you have to have guys in the cars in the streets. So a lot of the training and a lot of people that would probably not get a job as a police officer, let's say in the big cities like Los Angeles and New York, will get a job, let's say like a St. Charles or like a small suburb, you know, they'll get those jobs. And we're seeing a lot of this. Difference is, this has been going on for decades, centuries almost, where, you know, since Jim Crow Act, that brothers were just treated differently. Shoot first, ask questions later, you know? And I just don't, my generation, I don't see the change. And I feel like it's going to be up to the next one. The ones that are coming up, they're going to have to make the changes, because from what I'm seeing, people that are already open to the idea, like pretty much everyone in this panel, which is they're willing to call wrong, regardless if the person is doing the wrong is the same skin color they are. I just don't think it's going to change anytime soon, because you cannot change minds that are set.
That don't want to be changed. That, like, this entire worldview demands that no matter what they see on a literal a video, you can watch the video and see it, and people are like, oh, well, there's, you know, there's something else. You know, something else happened. You know, there's cheated something, and there, you cannot change minds that are not interested in engaging in reality.
No, they immediately, and like I said, first, like it was told to me straight up, I'm white, so I'm gonna believe the white guys first. Because my experience is that y'all are the ones that rob everybody. And every bad experience I've had in the time I was robbed, it was by a black man. So, you know, I don't blame the police. It's hard. And that was, at that point, I mean, I could have insulted back, I guess, or I could have tried to say something different. But I just realized at that point that nothing I was going to say was going to change that mind. And all I was going to do was degrade myself into getting into a point of just, and it wasn't even, it was moment, it was honestly, it was like a moment of clarity for me, because I'm like, that's the basic, what the basic problem, the issue is we're preaching to the choir. I'm talking to Kat Timpf, a libertarian, about how wrong it is for anyone to be shot in the back. Let alone the fact it always seems to be us. And if Kat's a libertarian, and I know Kat, and Kat's she's going to agree, and she might have a different take on it, but she, even if she doesn't agree, she's going to be like, I understand where you're coming from, and I empathize. And, but here's why my issue is with that. But we're not getting that. We don't, with the other side of this issue, it is, no, but this, what about this? How about this? Like, you cannot argue or change minds to people who are perfectly comfortable in their mindset, because it's good for them. You know, they look at it as, that's one less criminal I got to worry about. They don't give a damn that the fact that they saw his family die. And this isn't Confederate flag waving, you know.
Yeah, not always.
Like that.
No.
You're not talking. That's not who it is. And although the media wants to paint the picture that half the country is in the Klan, it's not.
Yeah.
It's your friends, it's your school teachers, it's there's just a general consensus that's who we are. I'm a criminal. If y'all didn't know me and you saw five police officers surrounding me and you had that mindset, you'd be like, he did something. And if I ended up dead at the end of it, they'd be like, well, he probably deserved it. Because that's just the mindset, and that's what you're going against. And I just don't see, and I hate being a negative Nancy, but I said it on air last night. I said, it's not going to be my generation, because I think we're too stubborn, you know, because I'm not going to conform to their style of thinking. I'm not going to ever justify it. In the same token, they're not either. And it just depends on what pair of eyes you're looking through, you know, and I think that's where we're just stuck, because we have some wonderful things in this country. I mean, we do have great change. It's a lot better than it was in the 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, 90s, even the 2000s. You know, we are better. We are seeing more opportunities. You know, we are having it's a lot better than it was for my grandfather. I try to focus on that, but some of the things have never changed. Literally, I could play you. Before I do our podcast, Kat, I listen to pretty much every morning, or before I go on the Greg Gutfeld show, I listen to Richard Pryor. That's how I get hyped up. That's how I get my mind right. Right?
Yeah.
Big walking wannabe Richard Pryor, and he makes jokes about his wife leaving him, and his wife was leaving him, and he decided to walk out and shoot the car, like, you're not leaving in this month. So he shot the car. He shot the tire. It got good to him. So he then shot the engine, and the engine fell out. Well, somebody called the police. And when the police pulled up, he went in the house, because police don't shoot cars. They kill him. So, and I'm laughing, like, my brother, that's funny. So I'm like, damn, nothing's changed. That was 1979.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the same argument. You know? It's like, and he's like, oh, they're just resisting arrest. And you know, he makes the joke about, like, white people had no idea that they were, like, breaking necks and choking people out. Like, and until they notice it, we're not – until the unaffected are affected, we're not going to have change. But now we have a group of the unaffected who are perfectly comfortable with being unaffected. And we're seeing that. We're seeing it with COVID, with masks. We're seeing that with just anything that you have to be compassionate and understanding. We have just a scourge of narcissism in this country. Just they don't care. They envy everything. And what's not theirs, they want to destroy. And it's really just ugly right now. You know, and I try not to be negative. And one of the points of this whole show is for us to change the subject. But I think we would be mistaken if we didn't say what's on our mind about stuff, important things like this. But even when we try to be serious, the world of comedy still pops his head in. Like right now, while I'm in this moment, Cam's moaning, I want to go punch him in the mouth. But
I understand. So do I. So did I.
A month from now, I might look back at it and be like, was he really on the bike moaning like that?
That's literally what he sounds like on the bike.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things. I just, you know, obviously we got to turn around. We're not 145th ranked man-woman political comedy team in this country for nothing. You know, we earned that. And with Perino and the other guys stumbling numbers, this is a huge opportunity to make moves. You know, what do you got, Devin? Give us something. Anything.
I got a turtle over here that escaped for 74 days, all right? But where they found him, you'll never guess.
Strip club.
A 150-pound tortoise who escaped from a Tennessee home has been returned after 74 days, managing to make it less than a mile during his slow and steady journey. Though the African sulcata tortoise named...
Sulcata. Yes, I love
that. Did I say that right, Tyrus?
You did.
Oh,
you did
God.
That, Devin. Whew. You did that.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody, hey, you know what? We don't get to do this often.
Yeah, Devin, great job.
Wow, yeah. Guys, thank you
Catherine's
so much.
Catherine's clapping, too, but she's muted because she can't be trusted.
No, at all.
Yeah, some of the background noises we got coming from chainsaws, cussing, her Uncle Teddy throwing up from a binge drinking. So she's not allowed. She's muted.
Yeah, always Uncle Teddy. Yeah. Anyway, the African sulcata tortoise named Solomon.
Damn, she did it again. Woo! All right, go ahead.
Bah, 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 bah. Named okay, Solomon. Oh, did I take it too far? Sorry. I took it too far. All right. My bad. All right. He crawled away from his Ashland City enclosure more than 2 months ago, and he was discovered just an eighth of a mile away from his home earlier this week. Lynn Cole, the owner, told WKRN-TV that him and his son had spotted Solomon grazing in a valley at a construction site and returned him within minutes. Quote, I guess that we will never know the full details of Solomon's great adventure and how he managed to elude us for so long. No matter his traveled course or intent, thanks for the gentleman and his son who happened to drive by at that moment, Solomon is now safely at home, and as such, so much joy has returned to our family. Cole said Solomon is a beloved pet who has been with their family since birth. The owner said that they would pay his rescuers a reward for returning him home.
Now, when you say his, you're referring to whom?
Solomon?
Who's a what?
A turtle. A tortoise.
What kind of tortoise?
A sulcata tortoise.
Damn, you did
An
that.
African yeah. sulcata tortoise.
It's not a fluke.
I thought it was a trick question, Tyrus.
You know, but then, you know, you called him a turtle, and you're going to need to apologize now. So you just called him out his name. You know what I'm saying? Like, you basically dropped the T word on a tortoise. So I think it's best before me and Kat continue that Devin apologizes to tortoises everywhere for her negligence and insincerity and lack of knowledge. I think that's just fair. I mean,
You're right. And I want to just take this moment right now. Solomon the tortoise, all tortoises, tortoise out there. I'm sorry. To turtles out there, I'm sorry. I miscategorized you. And for that, it's on me. I'll take it. I'm going to do some research, learn a little bit more. come back next week stronger than ever.
All right. I think, Kat, are you good with that?
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to reptiles, Kat doesn't play.
No.
And, you know, here's the thing about tortoises and turtles. They always do that move when it comes to hiding. Because everything else breaks. Tegus break. Cats break. Dogs break. Turtles will be like, I'm going to hide 1 foot from my cage. They'll never look for me there. And guess what? We don't. And literally killing. When I was a kid, I had a turtle who got out of his tank, and all he did was go underneath and stay there. I'm in this. I'm flipping this. I'm looking under couches.
Right, right.
Can't find him anywhere. And then I'm sitting there on the plane. I actually literally forgot about him. Like a week had gone by. I'd given up, you know. And he literally just strolled out from underneath his cage. I was like, oh, hell no. And literally put him back in his thing. Like, that's classic tortoise camouflage skill set. That's what they do. You know what I'm saying? They're like, they hide where you never expect it. And we've all tried that in hide and seek. Where
well, that happened with cheese once.
You know, Kemp, when you're playing, they're counting on the tree and you hide on the other side of the tree thinking they'll never look, except you're not a tortoise. You're just a lazy kid. But I'm sure you've done that or been experienced that with hide and seek.
Well, Sheen's one time, he like got stuck in the inner workings of a bed that I had. I had like one of those IKEA beds a few years ago with the drawers. And like, I could not find him anywhere. I knew his food wasn't being eaten. I knew he wasn't like coming out and eating or using the litter box. And like, I looked for 3 days. I couldn't find him. I was putting posters up around the neighborhood in Brooklyn. I was like sobbing. It was awful. And then I ended up like making the bed, lifting up the mattress. And I truly just saw him sitting there. He hadn't meowed or anything. He was underneath me every night as I was crying in bed.
And he was too proud.
Dana, who does hair at Fox, she lost her cat too, did the same thing, posting it all over the place. The cat was stuck in the deck. Like, it's wild.
How it is wild how proud they are, cats. You know, they
yeah,
just,
that's true.
It took one me out.
I didn't get that. I like this cat.
And look at him now. You know, I in my pet shop at 50 Fathoms, where I get all my exotic pets from and my fish and stuff, they had a pair of cicada tortoises that came in. And I have a picture on my phone. I'll send them to you guys. Maybe we'll make the cover this week. And he was the pair, and they were about the same size as the Escape Genius. It was only $1,200 for the pair, which I thought would be great mascots for the show. So are we all going to ante up, or do we start another GoFundMe page for the Team Cicada? I think we need a mascot. We do have a pterodactyl, but it is extinct. So it's not like we can, you know, bring him, do a parade with our mascot because he's – but we definitely do a parade with our cicada tortoises, you know. And we can all take turns. We can ship them to each other because they're hardy and tough. I mean, it's a little expensive with the shipping since they're both around about 100 pounds each. But they're awesome. And they're currently in a bin waiting to come home. So if we can get Catherine to get that GoFundMe page for the Tyrus and Timf cicada tortoise fun mascot thing for science, that would be great.
What would you name the tortoises? What would the names of these mascots be?
I was kind of leaning towards Tyrus and Timf.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, you know, TTNT, the Tyrus and Timf tortoises, I think has a great ring to it. I don't know what would fit, you know, Devin and Catherine in, but, you know, if they lay eggs or something, like, you guys could maybe be an egg or two or, you know. And then, of course, here's the best part about that is we get our money back because then we sell the eggs for profit. You know what
I'm saying? That's true. Why have we not been breeding reptiles this entire time?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all I've ever really – I mean, I've always wanted to do the TV thing, yes. Have I always wanted to do the writing thing? Yes. Have I always wanted to do the comedy thing? Yes. But I've been doing that, and that's great, and go cat. But my dream of breeding reptiles has yet to come to fruition, and I'm not getting any younger.
No, and there's never been a better time to move on it. You know how hard it is to get two fully mature tortoises, male and female, together without having to grow them for 45 years? Few and far between, my friend. It's not easy. And because they like me, they said I can get it for $1,200 instead of $14. So, I mean, and they lay their first batch of eggs. They usually lay around 30, 35 eggs. We've already made our money back. I mean, people even buy the little, like, slow ones. And then if we get, like, a freaky one with, like, two heads, 10,000 on the spot. You know what I'm saying? Like, we literally, if we work those little buggers, inside of 3 or 4 months, we could make, you know, millions, absolute millions. Just throwing that out there. Man, talk amongst yourselves. I got to hold on.
It wouldn't just be the millions. It would also be the amazing joy of having turtles giving – birthing eggs right in front of my very eyes. And tegus, bearded dragons. You know.
Yeah, I mean, what's a good starter exotic animal, exotic reptile? Like, if you're just starting out in the reptile game, well, what would be a good, a tegu?
I want snakes. I definitely want
I feel like a turtle's pretty easy to take care of, right?
Or most work is remote work, so why am I not doing it on my own reptile farm?
Yeah, you know, a good starter pet is a turtle because they're tough. They can live pretty much in any environment. Tortoises, you got a little different because you got to have heat. You got to make sure they get plenty of vegetables and stuff like that. Where tortoises or turtles, you know, you put them in a tank with your water and a little filter and you just put some pellets in there and watch them grow. So turtles are good first pets, goldfish. If you start getting into reptile world, I start getting some of the big boys. Bearded dragons are good to start with because they're hardy and tough and they generally like people.
I've always wanted one, but you have to feed them like live crickets. So that scares, you know, it would not be a big deal if I was living in a house. You know, I just don't know where I would put the crickets.
You know what tegus eat, right?
Yeah. But you can feed them like a salmon fillet.
Eventually, they're going to want something that moves.
Mice, yeah.
Yeah, you got a chicken. They get bigger. Bunny rabbits.
Yep.
I have a buddy, Mike, who breeds reptiles, and my daughter always wants a snake, and he's got pink corn snakes that he's, because he's so good, he can match snakes up and get colors and stuff that he wants.
I really want a snake. Snakes are pretty easy, right? Like, you feed them once a week.
Yeah. Oh, I can. Mike would send you a snake tomorrow. Just tell me what you want.
Cam, I want a python. He says no, but good thing.
Okay, well,
we're engaged, but we're not married yet, so.
Yeah.
I'm rethinking things. I'm going to get a python.
Yeah, we'll send it to your door.
Yeah.
I would actually go with, he has captive bred boa constrictors that are beautiful, but they're like, the parents were captive bred by him. They're all from, so literally the babies come out imprinted on human beings. They don't bite at all. Like, my daughter plays with them in the pet shop all the time, and he breeds them like, literally, he's got, I'll send you guys pictures of all the eggs hatching and stuff. Although Catherine has a queasy stomach, so maybe Catherine don't look at it, but, you know, like, seeing the little eggs hatch and stuff is kind of cool. But, you know, speaking of cool,
this one's good. This one's a real good one. Kat sent me this one earlier this week.
You won't want to miss what's next right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
One man made the mistake of using a Photoshop picture on Tinder and is being called out by his match for being a catfish. Carter Hambly uploaded a picture of him with a Star Wars character, the beloved Baby Yoda, to his profile in the hopes of attracting fellow fans. The 21-year-old matched with someone and was asked, "Where did you get that Yoda doll?" He admitted, "Ha ha, it's just Photoshopped." Still confused, the woman hit back, "No, not the photo, I mean the Yoda doll." Carter tried once again to explain that it was not a doll, and in a bid to move the conversation along, he asked what kind of film she liked. He said, "Yeah, it's not a doll, unfortunately. Anyways, what kind of movies do you like besides Star Wars, presumably?" But the woman took offense to his use of Photoshop and called him out for catfishing. She wrote, "So you just put a fake image on your profile? That's literally the definition of catfishing. You're a liar and a sneak, and I'm reporting you, not letting you fool anyone else with your little trick. Carter was then banned from Twitter for being a catfish.
Tinder.
Oh, Tinder. Sorry. He was banned from Tinder for being a catfish. Thanks, Kat.
So I truly, you know that I hate Star Wars. I hate everything it stands for. Somebody who would be that into Star Wars that he'd Photoshop a Yoda into his photo. I do not like that person. I do not want to interact with that person. That person probably gave me death threats in 2015. But this girl, whoever she is, has managed to do what I thought was the impossible, which is take the side of a Star Wars super fan in some sort of controversy. Because that's how awful she is. He Photoshop, what did you think? It was a real Yoda? It's a movie, you dumb. You're going to report him? And now he's off Tinder? If he's a Star Wars super fan, he probably has enough problems finding, you know, love and or even, you know, someone to touch him. He doesn't need you doing that. She is unstable. She should be banned from Tinder. She should be banned from the public square. She should be canceled.
Okay. If I could just hold up with this crazy car wash we got going on here. First of all, she sounds like a real You probably were being done a favor, because if she can't figure out that the entire country, especially on social media, was taken by storm by Baby Yoda in the Disney smash hit streaming series, The Mandalorian, where that little Yoda dude, Muppet, made in honor of Jim Henson and the original Yoda, was everywhere. Every meme within 2 miles of your phone had Baby Yoda on it.
Yeah.
So that is not the definition of catfish. And I'm sure the close-up of your face like this on all your pictures is just as catfishy, because you're trying to make yourself look skinny instead of showing us what's really going on.
Yeah, you're using a filter.
You use filters and glitter stars and extensions and fake eyelashes and eyebrows that always look amused or interested, or literally are stolen from any of the many of the millions of McDonald's parks around this country. Like, for you to come at him that way because he Photoshopped a picture of a popular,
and it wasn't
character,
deceptively Photoshopped. Like,
it
obviously
was still him.
He wasn't now, actually he was hanging out with Baby Yoda, because Baby Yoda's not real.
Listen, Star Wars hater, if he had Harrison Ford with Baby Yoda on his Tinder, then you have an argument. But there is way more Star Wars supporters than there's not. So, Kat's alone. She lives.
Don't I know that the hard way?
She goes to her Billy Madison seminars. We go to Star Wars seminars. Live and let live. If the Force is not with her, that's her own damn fault. That's neither here nor there. But to call somebody a catfish because you're dumb could not figure out that he put a picture of Yoda next to him is just ridiculous. And I hope Tinder figures out that he's not a catfish and he's back on there. But here's the thing, bro. Let me tell you about guys in Tinder. You don't need it. You really don't need it, guys. I have never, ever in my lifetime downloaded a Tinder app. I never had to swipe left. I went out in the Safari and got it done. You know what I'm saying? Do not, because anyone, as soon as she started, couldn't understand it was a Yoda thing, your next move should have been unswipe and move on. Like, literally the first time she was fixated on Yoda, you need to realize that it's time to move on. She has problems. She's on there for a reason, because she has no personal skills and is an evil person.
And she also, she thinks Baby Yoda is, she's mad because she thinks Baby Yoda's like an actual dude out there. So not only is she evil and mean and cruel, she's also stupid.
Yeah. Or I prefer she's an ignorant genius. Here's the other thing. I have a buddy, I have a lot of friends who, from the movie I did, Anuati, Water Beast, makes characters for FX. He's phenomenal. He can make anything And he made a ton of Baby Yodas for people to buy and hold or whatever. So if it was that important to her, you know, look him up, Rashad Santiago. He's on Instagram. And for a small fee, he'll send you your own Yoda. And then you and Yoda can just be on your merry way and leave the rest of us the hell alone. So we can swipe away from your ridiculous, just a hater. Like she's such a justice warrior. Got him, coach. What do you
think? Yeah.
He took a picture with a movie character next to him, and I told him he was catfishing. Because unless you're on the set of Mandalorian,
right?
Catfishing.
He said his bet, right?
Was catfishing. Like, every major star had this little Yoda next to them at some point. So the whole planet was catfishing, you know, and she figured it out. So let's cancel what was it again? Tinder. Make sure you go out and find everyone with a little Yoda and you cancel their account. You'll be bankrupt within the day. Get all them Yoda pictures out. End it now. And while you're at it, any other cuddly character, an elf or any Disney character, if someone's got like a Mickey Mouse next to them, let's take it a next step further. If somebody has Mickey Mouse ears on, trying to play themselves off as Mickey or Minnie Mouse, let's get their out of there too. You know, let's go through Tinder and break it down. You have to. Here's new rules for Tinder. You got to take a shower, step out the shower, don't even dry off, take the picture and send it. That's you. That's it. Nothing else. Chin up from the neck up. From the neck up. You know, we keep PG. But and that's it. Any makeup, you're out of there. Any hats, any hair dye, anything like that, you're out of there. Tinder will be, yeah, basically Catherine. Like, no makeup, no additives or preservatives, just straight. This is what I'm supposed to – it is what it is. So basically everyone will give their best COVID-19 look. No look. That's it. It's all good. Is that fair, Kat? I think that's the only way we fix this.
Right. I mean, at least he was like obviously Photoshop, not like I am presenting to you that I actually have, you know, these are my eyelashes. And I do the extensions. I wear the extensions, but I also post pictures without the extensions. And I like am very open about the fact that my hair is not real.
Yeah. And your glasses.
And my glasses.
So where was Neil on this one? I mean, this is an episode.
Yeah.
So I tried to FaceTime him, and he was there, but Yoda wasn't. He said Yoda was working. And then Yoda's video camera was broke. So I text Yoda, and he texted me back, but then I called his number, and I heard a different voice answer it and then hang up. So let's get, what is it, Simon and Neil? What are the catfish guys?
Neve and Max.
Neve or Neve or whatever.
Neve and Max.
Neve and Max. Let's get Neve and Max on this, you know. But unfortunately, the episode's cut short because the guy was honest. So, no, I just photoshopped a picture of me and Yoda. No. Where is Yoda? Is he with you now? Like, he'd be like, oh, yeah, he's in the shower. You know,
I agree. That's my favorite.
He's very shy about meeting people, you know, and then we go to his house. Kat and I will special guest star on Catfish. We go to this guy's house, knock on the door, demanding to see Yoda. You know, and he's like, oh, he's like getting coffee. Where? Starbucks. All right. And then we drive over to catch him in the act to see little Yoda coming out of the store with coffee in his hand. And then Kat tries to run him down as a journalist to get the story. You know, is he really with? Because that's what real Catfish is, not this stupid. She did. Like, boo this girl. Let's all boo this woman. Like, collectively boo her. Just a boo. Again, Catherine, thanks for the booze, but you're muted. So, but it's the thought. It's the effort. It's all about the effort.
Well, if you want to detox, if you want to detox from that, you know, I have a story for you.
Okay, because we need to. Because Kat's looking in the screen. She's pissed right now because she hates Star Wars. Ever.
Yeah, I it goes against everything I stand for. It's
everything.
And this man. But this chick is so, just makes my blood boil that I actually have to.
And the fact that she couldn't even look, viewers at home understand how disturbed the Timf is right now. She had to look away. She could not look directly into the screen. She had to look away. That's how distraught she was. And she had to vape an extra puff just to get that out. She's not in a good place right now. And she literally has 17 hours of TV to do today. So thank you very much, Yoda-hating person, or catfisher, or whatever the hell her name is. The Force is not with you.
Well, let's try to get Kat in a better mood here, all right? So a satellite internet service provider is offering to pay someone $1,000 to digitally detox in nature without any electronic devices. Satellite Internet, based in Salt Lake City, said one randomly selected applicant for the digital detox challenge will receive $1,000 in exchange for spending 48 hours living out of an RV at a U.S. national park without...
Oh my God, it's a slice of heaven.
Without any internet or phone service.
Oh, I'm all about it. Look at my face. I'm smiling. Although, Devin, I have to say, this just pissed Kat off even more. You now want Kat to give up her phone, her laptop. I never thought I'd have to do this on this show, but Kat, we have to boo Devin. Like,
what?
We have to boo Devin. I'm sorry.
Oh my
gosh.
This
is supposed to make Kat feel better, and you literally told her she had to give up her phone for 2 days and live in an RV. She's been trapped in an apartment. And now you're going to put her in a smaller environment and take her phone away? Does she owe you money?
My phone is like my one true love. Yeah.
I started out the episode getting applause, and I'm ending the episode.
You're ending up boo. And I'm sorry. Are we ready? Yeah. Boo, Devin. Like, boo, Devin. Devin. I mean, I love it. If you would have said, hey, Tyrus, I got one for you to make you feel better, I would have been like, Devin, that was so thoughtful because, hell yeah, I'll RV. I would put a tent next to the RV. I'd sleep under the stars. I'd take it to the next level. I'd befriend a bear and we'd play games in the river all day, sing old songs and make s'mores out of squirrels. We would have just had a blast together. But instead, you wanted Kat to attend that, and Kat would have been staring at the RV going, this, over and over again. Seriously?
It'd be very hard for me. Would it be good for me? Sure. Because I'm addicted to my phone. But, like, what would I do? I don't know. I guess
You're right. I'm sorry. I've so many apologies this episode. I read the room wrong, and that should have been a Tyrus story, not a Timp story.
True. It's like you don't even know me at all, Devin.
That's
what I learned today, by the way. You don't know me at all.
Is that what you learned? All right. Well, what I learned was the difference between turtles and tortoises, tortoise, and that my story selection subpar.
Well, a very eye-opening episode, to say the least. What did I learn? I've learned that mute button means absolutely nothing to Catherine, and we probably should train her on that. While we appreciate all of her youthful exuberance, we cannot hear you. So, yeah. So maybe get her some cue cards and she can write her thoughts and put them up. Maybe we can do that because she just looks honestly silly and it's a little distracting when we're trying to work. I also learned that Devin can say Zuccotta tortoise with the best of them. While she was species insensitive to turtles and tortoises across the world, we are working with her. We're not going to give up on her. Hopefully we can change her narrow-mindedness when it comes to terrapins, turtles, and tortoises. And we also learned that Kat cannot live without her phone and can become extremely violent if you even hint at it. And then, of course, I also learned that Cam really shouldn't make those noise riding a bike. I mean, it's a bike. There's no excuse for noises like that unless you're trying to get noticed. And we're not doing auditions on Tyrus and Timp anytime soon. So with that, what did I learn? Man, I learned all that. And I'm going to say this, and I feel like it's just
redundant and repugnant, but for more podcasts like this, check us out at foxnewspodcast.com. Thanks to Devin, Catherine, Carl, the Temp, and myself. Cam will not be given the thanks this week because the creepy sounds were ill-placed and not needed. Enough said.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, in these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.